All right. Well, it's good to see you today. Today being the 12th day of October, 2025, we're going to finish out this lesson we started last Sunday entitled Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey. We're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 10. Nehemiah, chapter number 10. And as we looked at the lesson last week, we began the lesson last Sunday. I began here with this, looking at the lesson, and I want to just share a couple things with you on it as we get started with it, if I can get my fingers here to work right. All right. We looked last week at the people's pledge of obedience unto God. Back in chapter number 9, Nehemiah wrote there about how the people had chosen to forget, you know, their service unto God. They forgot how good God had been to them, but they were reminded of what God had done for them. And in Nehemiah chapter number 9, you read about that whole thing that was given by Nehemiah to remind them of what God had done and how good God had been. I would encourage you to read chapter number 9, and I may just take time this morning just to read a little bit of it for you today. But I want to get through the lesson. I want to get it finished up today so we can finish out next week. But then we looked at, after Nehemiah had given them this declaration, we looked at the people's pledge of obedience unto God. They made an oath unto God. They realized that they had neglected God. They had forgotten about God. They had forgotten about His blessings. But Nehemiah, the faithful servant of God, reminded them of God's faithfulness even when they were unfaithful. And they began to see just how they needed to dedicate their hearts and their lives unto God. And in chapter number 10, we see how that they began to sign this oath. They put it in writing that they would stay faithful to the Lord. And Nehemiah was one of the first ones to do that. We saw the makers of the oath, and we even looked at the terms of their oath there last week in verse number 29. So today, I want to begin here today, and I want to start with you. I'm going to go back to Nehemiah chapter number 9. I just think we need to read it. It's 38 verses, but I want you to listen. I want you to follow along with me, all right? I appreciate Ms. Belcher being here today. She's going to keep things straight over here with Brother Tom here, all right? But I want to read these things. I'm not going to read all these names because she's going to have a tough time spelling them, okay? Yeah. All right. But you can follow along in there, okay? All right. It said, beginning in verse number 1 of Nehemiah chapter number 9, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, all the men of God, with a voice unto the Lord their God." And you can read those names for yourself, okay? All right? "Then the Levites," and he names all of those fellows, okay? And I don't want to have to see her struggling with this, okay? With her spelling on this, all right? "But they said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham. Isn't that just like God to put the ham right on everything? Amen. He just does a blessing. And look what he said. And foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou did divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And thou didst, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and has wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Men, wouldn't it be great if your women, man, been like that? And all of our wives didn't have to buy a new dress or new shoes and all these other things. Amen. For 40 years, God provided for them. Man, what a God. Amen. What a God. What a great God. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so that they possessed the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multipliedest thou as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land concerning which thou hadst promised to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subdued them before the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings, and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs. And they slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore, thou deliveredst them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gave them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times did thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiest against them by thy spirit in the prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Boy, that was a great confession. They admitted their faults. And look what else he said. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked ways. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Folks, after they had been reminded of what God had done for them, they said, you know what? It's time for us to get serious, to trust the Lord our God, and not just to trust Him, but to obey Him in all that we do. And folks, that's where we looked at the people's pledge as we went to chapter number 10 last week. And we looked at the makers of the oath. And we even looked at the terms of their oath. But today, I want us to look at this. Their act of trust. Their act of trust. You see, folks, obedience and trust go hand in hand together in the lives of the children of God. Do they not? We must trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So after all that had occurred in the preceding chapters, We now see the people's settlement here in Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter number 11, verses 1 through 24, we read in verse number 1, "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." You see, these folks willingly waited and they trusted the Lord as to who would go and who would stay. They needed some folks to stay in the city, and yet they needed some folks to stay outside the city to protect things and to watch over things. And they were willing to obey God with whatever decision was made in their lives. And folks, that's what you and I need to learn to do today, to trust and to obey and to do what God said. These folks willingly trusted the Lord. You know what? It sounds like they began to have revival in their hearts and in their spirits, did they not? When we learn to trust and obey the Lord, God sparks a revival in our hearts and our souls. And I want you to look at this. All total, there were about 3,044 men and their family members who moved from living in the general regions in Judah, okay, to directly into the walled city of Jerusalem. They decided they would go in and they would live there and they would protect that city. They would watch over that city. And man, how great it must have been to see God's divine plan worked out within the hearts and lives of God's people. And then in verses 25 through 36, we see here the settlement of the people within the communities and all around Jerusalem. Now in verses 25 through 30, we're looking here at chapter number 11. In verses 25 through 30, we see how that some of the children of Judah dwelt in many of the various and surrounding cities, okay, and the villages, and they were willing to go wherever God placed them. Now, there were cities around Jerusalem. There were little villages there that needed to be occupied by those who loved Jerusalem. And these folks were willing to go and bring their families and say, "Yes, we love the house of God. We love the temple of the Lord. And we're going to be here to watch over it and protect it." And in verses 31 through 35, we see how some of those folks dwelt in areas as far as 30 or 40 miles away from Jerusalem. And yet, they were willing to go where God placed them. And you know what, folks? Listen. You know what? Sometimes we go different places and we serve the Lord in different areas of life. But you know what? Wherever you go is an opportunity to serve the Lord. Wherever God has placed you, wherever God settles you, there is where you need to be serving the Lord. And there is where you need to be living for Him. And those verses there, they were willing to serve the Lord. And they were willing to pray for those and work with those that were living close to the city. And there were Levites who settled in both regions. So to give encouragement to the people in the word of the Lord. They needed the men of God there. They needed people that would stand up and say, "Listen, I will help lead you. I know you may be far from the temple, but we're going to be here to help you, to lead you, to direct you, to give you guidance in the word of God." But you know what? Nehemiah's desire was that the people would now keep their oath unto the Lord. Now let me ask you something. How many times have you and I made promises unto God, and then we go back and we see that we failed to keep those promises? Well, many times we say, "Lord, if you'll just do this for us, I'll get back to serving you. Lord, if you'll just save my family. Lord, if you'll just do this for me. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll give you my best." And before long, we find ourselves just like the children of Israel, disobeying God, rebelling against God, and forsaking His word once again. But you know what? The desire of the man of God, the desire of Nehemiah, was that God would speak to these people's hearts. And as they signed this oath, and you read those names. Now, I know you got trouble reading those names. I had trouble reading those names. But listen to me. God saw that it was important to list them in this word. And you know why? Because every individual had to make a decision. And God recorded that decision so as to be an encouragement to you and to me. You see, the Bible says God so loved the world. But the world is made up of individuals, is it not? And you and I are those individuals. And God is the one keeping the record. You know what? Whether the pastor ever mentions your name or not is irrelevant. But what does God know about your love for Him? What does God know about your oath that you've made unto Him? God saw these people and how they were willing to step up and to say, you know what? No matter who says what, no matter who else disagrees, I realize that I failed the Lord. And I need to get my heart right with God. And I need to be a leader in this land. I need to be one that will lead and guide and direct my family, my loved ones, in the right direction for the Lord. And they were willing to sign their name to this oath that Nehemiah set up for them. And what? God blessed them. And everything seemed to be going great. But the question was, would this revival from the Word of God continue? Or would the people keep their word, and would the people keep their word as they had promised unto God that they would do? And folks, you know what? They are men and women just like you and I today are either a man or a woman. Each of them had to make a decision what they were going to do with that oath that they had made to God. Now, I want to say this as we conclude this 11th lesson. I guess this is the 12th lesson, actually. But many times, when the pressures of this old world cause us to be tempted to forget what God has done for us through the years, we need to just stop and back off and do what these people did. They separated themselves from the world. They separated themselves. They got away from those folks that were causing them to doubt the Word of God. They just stepped back and they got alone with God so they could remember the faithfulness of God in their lives. I have a picture I keep in my Bible, and I've shown this to you many times before. It's a picture of when I was a little bus kid. And we had picture Sunday that particular day. And we had over 60-some folks on our Sunday school bus, and I am right there. I'm the cute one right there, okay? I'm the cute one right there. That's me. I was about 11 or 12 in that picture. But you know what? I look back at that picture, and I think so many times where God brought me from and what God has done for me through the years. I got a couple of little pictures in here of my kids that rode the bus. Our children, when Lisa and I got married, we were having old-fashioned Sunday. There's Heather in her little pilgrim outfit and Stephen in his little overalls. He was a little farm boy. He was about 2 years old. She was about 6 years old. I've got that in that same place. I got a picture right there of my family before we moved up here. I thank the Lord for that. And I keep it in one specific place in my Bible. And it's in the chapter, Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Where the Bible said here, God is talking to the children of Israel and He's reminding them of all that He'd done for them. And He said, when I brought you into all this good land which you didn't do anything for, and I give you a house that you didn't build, wells that you didn't dig, fruit trees that you didn't plant, when I've done all these things and blessed you so much, He said in verse number 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, He said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Folks, never forget. Trust the Lord. Obey the Lord. And you know why? Because He went on in here to say in this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6, He said in verse number 20, He said, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, and there will come a day when your children, your grandchildren are going to say, Grandma, Grandpa, why do you serve the Lord? Why do you go to church all the time? why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray for us all the time? God said to them, he said, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us to do. Father, the Lord God has been so good to us. And so many times we forget to simply be willing to trust him and obey. To trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That old song I told you about last week said this: a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted. Why not you? Jesus is the captain. We will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? I want to give him my best. Not because Pastor Belcher says I got to do it. Not because I'm on staff here at this church. But simply because I love the Lord for all he's done for me. And he's brought us through so much. Lisa and I sat there Friday night. And I ate that food and I ate that dessert. We had dessert and everything. We brought Pastor Howell a piece of dessert back. I brought Sophia a little piece of dessert back. And you know what I got to thinking? I told Lisa as we were driving back, I said, can you imagine when we got married 44 years ago and we were so excited, we bought a little single-wide trailer. Had three bedrooms, two baths in it. And man, we thought we were just something. God had been so good. I think interest rates were only like 23% interest back then. But you know what? We thought, man, we were just so blessed of God. And to think that God would move us all the way up here and give us the opportunity to serve him as we do here and to be able to be a teacher in a class like this and to serve the Lord. And he's given us and blessed us with so many opportunities to share the gospel with people. Who would have ever thought? And you know what? When you get to thinking about what God has done, you know what? It's not a hard thing to just simply trust and obey the Lord. And we do it because we love him enough to do it. Will you love him today? Will you trust him today? Will you be willing to obey him in all things today? I think that's what Nehemiah is trying to teach the people here. That we would just simply trust him and love him enough to obey him in all things. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I know that this lesson has meant so much in my heart because it's a reminder, God, of your many blessings upon my life. And Lord, as Nehemiah tried to remind the people of God's goodness, even when they had failed the Lord so many times, he reminded them of God's faithfulness and mercy that had been extended to them. And Lord, surely you have been good to us. God, you have been good to America, and yet we have forsaken your ways. We have turned from you and done our own thing. Oh, God, help us, Lord, today to never forget where you brought us from and what you want to do with us and how you want to use us to get the gospel to those that are lost and in need of salvation today. Help us, dear God, to be willing to love you enough to trust and obey in all that we do and say. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach the word of God. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.